WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
And I don't care. I know it's cold outside. I've got the heater on inside. And a very good evening, Tuesday. I'm Brian. This is Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. On this, the ninth day of December, we're getting closer and closer. What, I guess, 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks and a day to Christmas Eve. Today, though, is Anti-Corruption Day. Well, we know where most of the corruption emanates. I think if we can stop that corruption, we'll be doing hell better for ourselves. Christmas Card Day. The day that people try to get those cards out to ensure that it's there on Christmas Day when you know who goes to open it up. Oh, I got a card from Aunt Mildred. How nice of her. World Genocide Commemoration Day. Because in 1946, the Nuremberg trials began. It involved those that were involved in Nazi experimentation, mass murder, under the guise of Youth than Asia. Yeah, we used to make those euthanasia jokes, but not necessary on a day like today. Operation Restore Hope. That's what our government called it, and that's when our troops landed on Somalia in 1992. The Brian's B quote of the day: I grew up in the church, and I feel very strongly about it. I grew up in the church, and I feel very strongly about it. Marianne Mobley, a fine actress, a Miss America from Mississippi. And she had a strong connection to the church. Good for her, passed away on this date in 2014. All right, 508-996-0500. I was on for Barry earlier today. And I'm actually not going to do that. I'm going to start with something that I brought up during hour number three. I'm not sure that there was much of a response to it. But I looked at it this way. Donald Trump, President Trump, today, besides age, is a different president than he was during his first term. And certainly, things changed on the campaign trail in 2020 for him, and 2019, I guess, compared to 2015, 2016. If you recall, when Trump first ran for president 2015, remember he was taking contributions from Annie, Tom, Dick, Harry, Harriet, Dickette. But in 2024, he was taking contributions from mega donors, large corporations, Amazon, Target, you know, those kind of folks, Elon Musk. And to me, there's a huge difference. When he was first running, he was trying to get the corruption out of Washington. When was the last time you heard Donald Trump say anything about draining the swamp? Remember how huge that was in 2015, 2016. Don't hear anything about it in 2025. And very little on the campaign trail in 2024. I think many of the people that voted Donald Trump back into office in 2024 were thinking that the Donald Trump that they were going to get was very similar to the Donald Trump of 2026. Well, here's one way that I think is very evident how much Donald Trump has changed from that original campaign. So you may recall last week, tail end of last week, he was asked by reporters about showing the film, or the video, I should say, of the second bombing of the call them innocent, call them guilty, call them whatever you want, of the people stranded in the water after the boat was blown up in the Caribbean on September 2nd. At that time, President Trump said he hadn't seen the video, but yeah, if we've got it, we'll release it. That's what he said. Asked a similar question yesterday, today, and all of a sudden, what was that comment that he made? I don't get involved with that stuff. I don't get involved with that stuff. To me, that is the politician, Donald Trump. That is the difference from what he was back in 2017 when he first took office. So I thought I'd bring that up because do you really believe he hasn't seen that video? In my mind, there would be one reason why Donald Trump has not seen that video. So he could keep a straight face to the public and say he hasn't seen it. Because his handlers wouldn't want him to have to lie in that particular case. Otherwise, I think he has seen it. Whether he's disgusted by it or not, I think he has seen it. It's my thought. Your thoughts, 508-996-0500. Now I'm going to bring it home. Downtown New Bedford. Woman friend asked me a question. Maybe over the weekend we were out for a drive going through New Bedford. She likes to, and I like to drive her by the house that she grew up in, not far from Buttonwood Park. And so we were driving by, and I said something, and I'm not quite sure what I said, but her response was, "So why don't you like New Bedford?" And I said, it's not that I don't like New Bedford. I don't like cities, you know, and I started to explain a few things about why I don't like cities. And New Bedford has nothing to do with it. But then I'm reading this article about downtown New Bedford. And I'm thinking, yeah, this could be any city. It really could be. Any city. What do I mean by any city? It could be Fall River. It could be Framingham. It could be Lowell, Lawrence, Worcester, Boston, Springfield. You know, the cities, Lynn, City of Sin. When it gets dark, the city of New Bedford drastically changes. And it's not like they only come out at night, because homeless people are there during the daytime. They surround the bus. They camp out at the downtown library. They whiz wherever they want to whiz. And it really doesn't matter the time of day. For some of the stuff, I think those that are cognizant make sure that they're not relieving themselves when strangers are walking by. But there are others that could give a rat's you know what. And so the Standard Times had an interesting article, and I was reading it, and I said, sounds like stuff that we've talked about on this show. I've been getting feedback from some of the clients that drugs have really taken over the unhoused population. Now, there's a term that I wasn't too familiar with, unhoused. I know what it means, but I'm not used to it being called unhoused population. This is from April Moses. I tried to get April to come on to the show. Unfortunately, she wasn't at her boutique when I called over there. So April has a shop in downtown New Bedford. And she has decided she's had enough of the crap. She is moving from downtown New Bedford at the beginning of the year out to Peyton Arum, which is a section of Dartmouth. This is what she told the Standard Times. I've been getting some feedback from my clients that they just don't feel safe down here. The drugs have really taken over the unhoused population, and my girls don't feel safe working at night, which leads to another problem where I can't keep help. This is what a downtown New Bedford business owner is saying about the area that she has been operating in for a little bit of time. And to give you an idea, I don't know what the rent is where her shop is located. It's got to be pretty high rent for downtown New Bedford. We're talking like cobblestone New Bedford. She is packing up to move out to Peyton Arum, one of the ritzier parts of Dartmouth, where there are not too many shops, and there's sure as heck not a lot of crime. Hopefully, when she moves to Dartmouth, her workers will feel safer at night, and she won't have problems keeping employees. I'm not exactly sure what goes on at April Evans' boutique. I get the feeling it's some type of styling place, but don't quote me on that. Moses added that many of her longtime clients avoid visiting unless they have some type of chaperone, a friend or spouse. Here's the quote. If their husband couldn't come with them, they didn't feel safe. They're uncomfortable. They don't want to park near the bus station or near the library. What is that telling you about downtown New Bedford? And I'm looking outside right now. It's 6:19, almost 6:20. It is pitch dark. 6:20 in the evening. This is a holiday shopping period. I don't know how many folks are in downtown New Bedford shopping right now. I would like to think that there are quite a few folks. I could be dreaming that. I don't know. But I do know this. If people aren't shopping during the holiday season, what do you think is going to happen come mid-January through April in downtown New Bedford? And there's more. According to April Moses, we have fights out in front a lot, which I mean, who wants to walk in here with their kids for an event if there's a fight out front? It's scary. She's scared. Now, I've been around downtown New Bedford for 20-some-odd years, in and out, in a cab, daytime, nighttime. I don't really recall it like this 10 years ago. What's happened besides the police substation closing down? What is really going on? 508-996-0500. Hello.
Brian, how you doing?
I am. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have a question for you. Statistically speaking, has crime gone up in that area since they closed the police station?
I really don't have an answer to your question. I don't know. I think perception might overweigh reality, but I don't know.
It'd be interesting to know. And then secondly, have you been able to talk to any business owners in that area that were there prior to that station closing down? And maybe they, you know, through their own direct experience, would be able to kind of fill us in on what they... how they feel it's been subsequent to the station closing?
Great question. I've reached out to three different owners. I have not heard back from any of them yet.
All right.
I'm going to try to get if I can, get all three to come on to the show and let them tell their story.
Yeah, I think it would just be interesting to see who's been there, you know, for years, and they can actually firsthand, you know, they have borne witness to any changes down there after the police station closed a few years back.
Well, two of the owners that I've reached out to have been there longer than I've been around. Around here.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to hear.
Yeah, I am. Well, what do you think? I mean, what's your perspective?
I really don't have one. I'm not in that down that way too often. But, you know, I guess statistically it'd be interesting to see if there has been a sharp increase, or maybe just people's tolerance, you know, levels are changing too. Who knows? Maybe it could be a combination, but, you know.
Well, I hear you. I also look at it from this angle. You could have been down there for 20 years. Just going to throw that out there, 20 years. But if nobody's peeing on your front porch, and then all of a sudden over the past year or two they start doing it, crime is at your back door.
Yep. That's not good.
Yeah. All right?
All right. I appreciate it.
No, I thank you for the call. 508-996-0500. We continue on Brian's Beat. Hello. Yes, it's you.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you. So I love the gentleman caller that just called in and him substituting.
You love too many people, you know that?
I love everybody.
You do?
That's my problem. I love the world. I love everybody. It's just a big dance all the time. But here's the thing, subsequently, and that's a big word, but he was trying to say that. I am as well wondering, what do the police, will you have somebody from the police force to actually give a consensus on this topic, their feelings of what's going on? What do you think? Can you do that? Or?
I can ask. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if Officer Vieira, who is now more or less in charge of that downtown area, I don't know if he wants to come on or would be allowed to come on or any, but well, I can certainly reach out, and I think that's a very good idea.
I think it would be amazing, because just to get the consensus of, I know one person can't give the whole, you know, like the whole belly of feelings, but just to get at least one opinion from somebody within the department, I think would be a great thing. And I know you're good at making magic happen, so let's hope for that.
I'm good at making magic happen.
I also want to say, 107, I love you guys. Thank you for what you're doing tonight. Absolutely. It was, my heart is so full. And I'm just going to put it out there like that, Brian.
So you got me. What is Fun 107 doing tonight?
Crying. clients. They're helping a family, Christmas wish family, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say too much, but anyways, it's just they are there. They're just making.
They are
making
where
it work for our family.
Where are they? Do you know where they are?
Yes, they're down at Klein's, where the old building 19 was.
Okay. The open field where they want to have a homeless encampment.
No. You know where the Klein's greenery is?
Yeah, isn't that open field where they was talk about putting the homeless?
Whole open field that the mayor has yet to do anything with, but. Yes. One part of it is, I wouldn't call it a homeless encampment because...
No, I believe that there were a couple of counselors that had thought about that area as being a homeless encampment.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting at.
I said that would be great, but nobody, I guess it's untouchable because, I don't know, the city can't afford to buy the property from... I mean, it was Building 19 that was there. So I don't know. But you know what? I really, truly, and I have said this before, I think it would be great for something high-rise, some more apartments for everybody within the city, be it homeless or not. But I think that's great. And I just want to thank 107 once again for doing such a wonderful thing. I had no idea to find out about it. It just poked at my heartstrings because that's the family that I nominated, and for them to doing this special thing.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, thank you,
everybody. Happy holidays,
yes.
And Brian, thank you for coming in on this cold, dark night.
Little secret, I didn't leave.
You never left.
No,
bet you didn't.
All right. Thank you much.
Night, night. Bye.
508-996-0500. Speaking of New Bedford police and going back to this whole thing, I don't know if it's perception or reality that there's an uptick in crime or disobedience in downtown New Bedford, because I think, again, I don't want to speak for each and every incident. But as I'm not sure if it was the representative from the Harbor Hotel or one of the other people that the Standard Times spoke with, that there are many people that are homeless and it gets cold and they just want to warm up. They just want to sit down. They may just want to charge their phone. Is it the right thing to do? I think we can raise questions on both sides of the street with something like that. But that's not really committing a crime. There are others out there that commit crimes, whether they realize they're doing it or not. You know, that again is another debatable type issue. And I'm not trying to be too compassionate about it. I am of the feeling that the correct thing needs to be done to remedy the problem. And I don't think you can just throw money at the situation. In fact, I think if we look around right now, that's what's happened. Money has been thrown at the situation. And many of these groups that get the money, they've got the money. Not that they don't want to try to resolve some of the issues, but if they don't perpetuate the problem, then they don't get any more money. And the city feels good about giving them the money because they know, you know, they've been scratching each other's back. And that's one of the problems. That's how you create another swamp. Local swamp, but a swamp. Officer Tyler Vieira. He says he's been taking a proactive and compassionate approach to addressing safety concerns, particularly those related to the unhoused population and disturbances near local businesses. Disturbances. Maybe that's a good name for it. It's a disturbance. It's not a crime. It's a disturbance. Vieira says he and his officers have been getting some information on all the usuals that hang out downtown and cause these disturbances, and trying to work with loved ones to get them some help. So you get the, I'm trying to put this together. Your beat is downtown. You know the names of the characters. You're getting background information enough that you're, I guess, picking up the phone and calling family to try to see if you can get them to help out the loved ones. I guess not a bad idea, but maybe those people are homeless because they acted up so much at home that the folks at home just didn't know what to do with them anymore, and that's why they're out there in the street. You know, substance problems perpetuate other problems and vice versa. So as far as what's the home base for a lot of this problem, Officer Vieira says the liquor store is the number one problem right now that they're trying to tackle, adding that he regularly visits the store, educating the owner and enforcing stricter ID requirements for alcohol sales. I know we have signs that say, you know, you, if they're under 30, you got to card them. Well, how do you know if they're under 30 as opposed to under 28 or over 32 or what, you know, something like that. But nowhere in the story am I reading that the liquor store owner is serving anybody under the age of 21. So now, why is the liquor store the number one problem? Now, I've been down there, and I know people go in and out of that liquor store. This owner, the previous owner. I mean, it's a thriving business, right? There are lots of people that are drunks, folks that aren't drunks, but they like to drink. There's soda at that liquor store. I mean, people go into that liquor store, does a booming business. But I don't hear anything about the liquor store owner breaking any laws. But the liquor store's the number one problem right now, according to Officer Vieira, that they're trying to tackle down for sure. And you're working to educate the owner, enforcing stricter ID requirements for alcohol sales. I'm here and I'm thinking, what has that liquor store owner done? Now, are there people outside the liquor store creating a problem? You betcha. Well, there are people outside. It's a hang spot. They may be waiting for somebody to come with a couple of bucks so they can finally get their liquor on. And I'm sure there are some of the folks that are getting unruly waiting outside the liquor store, especially as it gets colder. But are we pointing the finger at the liquor store or the liquor store owner that's being educated by New Bedford police? And I come back to you. Is the liquor store the problem here? I can understand you're saying the liquor, but the positioning of the liquor store, the operation of the liquor store, I'm not sure that's the problem. I'm not there right now. so it's very hard to tell. The liquor store closes earlier than most liquor stores, or it used to anyway. So I'm not quite sure how you, I mean, maybe to Officer Vieira, and he's there. He does a beat. He's down there all the time. So his words probably a little bit better than mine. But in all of my years, and believe me, I can give you years from 2009 to 2015 of being down in that area 4 or 5 days a week. It wasn't what the liquor store owners were doing. I'm sure that there were people that came in with fake IDs, but if it looks real and you're showing it, you're serving the person. But otherwise, I don't think this is a liquor store owner problem. I'm not taking that to my deathbed, but I feel fairly confident in saying something like that. So if you take care of the education of the liquor store owner, I don't think the problems that some of these shop owners are talking about right now, people shooting up drugs, people coming into their store, sitting down, people that are unhoused, creating a ruckus in front of other stores. That is not a liquor store owner problem. That's my thought. Your thoughts, 508-996-0500. Brian, this is Brian's Beat.
This is WBSM.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. That's 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
So you didn't see any survivors, to be clear, after that first strike?
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand, because the thing was on fire.
Let's see, the thing was on fire, so he didn't see survivors. He was in a fog, something like that. We've been talking about downtown New Bedford. When was the last time you went downtown? Are you downtown right now? Are you fearful of trying to go shopping in downtown New Bedford as we speak? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. You mentioned kind of comparing it to 10 years ago. And 10 years ago is about when I stopped my usual routine because I retired. But I used to come back from work into Logan, and I take the late bus to
the ODACO
bus station.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a good service, by the way.
Yeah, I thought it was a great service.
So I might have occasion to wait 10 minutes for a cab to get me home, you know, in front of the bus stop.
I was busy. Sorry.
I wish I had known you. I wish I had your number. As a matter of fact, I think I kind of got smarter and would call up and see if I could get a cab there. while I was on the bus. Say, hey, I'm going to be on the late bus. But sometimes that worked, sometimes it didn't. But anyway, so this is an anecdotal story. It's probably 15 years ago now. I'm standing out there. I got some luggage, some carry-on luggage on a roller. And there's two guys getting a pretty loud fight in the bar across from the bus station entrance driveway. And it was getting a little worse. I was getting a little concerned. I was, you know, looking for escape routes, that kind of thing. And it was probably a little after midnight. It was the late bus. And that was when the precinct was open. So I said, what the hell? I'll call up the precinct. So I call him up. I tell him what's going on. Okay. I'm sitting there, and geez, about 10 minutes goes by. And they're still arguing, and now it's getting a little bit worse. They were had kind of been meandering, but they kept coming back to each other. And I called up the second time. Well, probably wasn't all of 10 minutes, but then I see the lights come on. The car was parked right there a block and a half away. A couple of guys came in. They slowed down. They'd break it up when one of you was going to jail. And they broke it up. And, you know, as easy as that. But I tell you, I wasn't comfortable being there. And that's a terrible story about the shop owner. And her employees is even worse.
Yeah.
Never mind her.
Yeah,
customers.
There are others, too. I haven't talked about any of the others. But you're right. Again, if people are fighting in front of your establishment, and, again, this is a boutique, and I think it's like a hair type place, yeah, you're probably, you know, I don't know too many manicurists who want to get mixed up in a fight.
Yeah, listen, I don't know. Broken windows is what they did with Giuliani and Bloomberg. And I tell you what, New York had a great run of being the safest big city at least in America, not the world.
It's a much larger city, and many more police officers.
Yeah, well, it behooves us to get serious about it if we're going to support the downtown.
All right, but how do you go about it? I think you're making a good point, but now what are the X's and O's to make that happen?
Well, number one, a city council and a mayor that really support the police. And a policy, basically, citywide policies. We're going to focus on safety downtown, across the city, but downtown. And I mean, you know, there's only so much they can do, but you can keep the downtown open for business, which doesn't mean the neighborhoods are going to be great, but because we need to keep them safe as we can. But you got to have commerce. And I think commerce deserves taxpayer dollars that it's creating to go towards continuing the lower commerce.
How about this? How about cutting red tape so the businesses can figure out what would work best for them?
I think they're obviously part of the solution. They're the ones that it affects the most. And, you know, and it's not something I deal with. I'm like you. That's why I don't live in the city, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but I think it's important that it is a friendly and safe place. And, the business owners have a part of it. It's not going to be cheap.
I think they have the largest part of it. I think that they need to, you know, they have a business association. Maybe they take that association and make a safety subcommittee.
Hire private security.
Exactly. They might need to hire, you know, just people that will walk employees from a business to the parking garage or wherever they may have to park. You know, that kind of stuff. You don't want to do that with the police department.
If you can't rely on the police department, which is a kind of a terrible condition, but yeah, if it's in their best interest to do that, and they ought to be able to write that off of the city taxes because the city can't provide police protection, they ought to be able to get a big discount on their taxes if they have to do that.
I think that would fall under a normal business expense, so you'll be able to write it off on your taxes
safety,
anyway.
Business expense.
Well, yeah, no, just the business expense that you're paying to make sure employees get from point A to point B.
You still have to pay it, same as your taxes. I don't know, the city property tax. You're not paying a income, business income tax to the city. You're paying a property tax. I think the property tax should be compensated at some percentage.
Huh. Well, I'll tell you what. I won't argue with you over that, but I bet there'll be plenty of city councilors and assessor-type people, maybe the mayor, that would.
Perhaps. It's their city. It's not mine. If they make it a good city, maybe I'll move in.
Yeah, what, move back? You think that's what you would do? And maybe that's, you know, maybe, would, maybe that's a show for another time.
City as a, you know, I mean, I considered the city was safe as somebody was getting older, particularly if they're single with the services, the city living might be all right.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It could be.
I think there are many people that think along the same lines, especially if there are some of the other services that normally are attached to either seniors or people in a city. I think a lot of people would go in for something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to be driving when I'm a certain age, so the city is compact and convenient. We'll see. You know, who knows, but it's got to be safe for all of us.
Got you. Well, no, I think that's pretty good. Thank you for your call. Great points. So the question should be, how do you go about making New Bedford a safer place for business owners and also for people that want to come out? And, you know, it's not just going to some of these shops. I believe the Garden is still open, and there are restaurants that are open weeknights in downtown New Bedford. They want to see people come into their shop, not just during the holiday, but any time of the year. You know, business might be an uptick. And what I'm going to do, depending on what time I get out of here tonight, I might just take a little trip through downtown New Bedford to see what's going on. Because, quite frankly, it's been a long time since I've been able to go at night and just drive through the city. But I'm curious after these reports to find out, you know, is there any crude action going on? Are there a lot of people shopping? Because, quite frankly, if you're shopping at 7:30 on a Tuesday night during the holiday season, my guess is if we were talking about this in 2015, there would be a lot more people down there than I'm guessing in 2025. I could be wrong, but the only way to find out is for me to actually go down there and look for myself. 508-996-0500. So I do believe, first things first, before business owners and the good taxpayers and bad taxpayers of the city of New Bedford end up throwing more money into a money pit, I think that some other things should be tried first. On the top of my list is that there are plenty of laws on the books right now that prevent homeless people that are, you know, there's a difference between being homeless and walking the streets of New Bedford or flopping down on the stairs by the library and being drunk and disorderly or high and disorderly. Public urination, all of those kind of things. There's a difference between being peaceful about it and being crime-oriented about what you're doing in downtown. So let's separate that. We have laws on the books already for disorderly conduct, and it might mean a trip to Ash Street or the House of Corrections or wherever. That should be taken care of. There should be nobody running a shop in downtown New Bedford at 7 o'clock in the evening that has to worry about somebody fighting in front of their place and that fight rolling into their establishment. And we can be compassionate all we want about stuff like this, but sometimes the more compassionate you are, the more you are actually putting your hands out for more of this kind of stuff to happen. So let's enforce the laws that are already on the books. Let's not make up new laws. Let's cut red tape. City, cut the red tape to let these shop owners do what they need to protect their employees and or to be able to keep their employees, because some of these employees just don't want to work at night in the city of New Bedford. So let these shop owners figure out what's going to be good for them. Does that mean some type of private service, taking people to their cars? It could be anything along those lines. But the bottom line is, we've got to open up the doors in order to allow these shop owners to do. What I mean by opening up the doors, cut the red tape. Cut the red tape to let them figure out what's going to be best for them. And hopefully it doesn't come down to a shop owner having to use her or his gun to ward off folks. But that should also be an option. I thank you.
We don't believe in integration, but we do believe in brotherhood.
WBSM.
That was A6.
Hit. Sounds like a battle, sir.
I-4.
Are you in trouble?
It's like my...
Back to Brian's beat.
They've got some data, and about 15% of men have interacted with some form of AI companion, and about 30% of women. It's more women than men.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too. More women interacting in a relationship with artificial intelligence. Whew. I can hardly wait to see what that's going to be like 5 years from now. Want to thank you for your calls. I will do my best to get some of the shop owners and hopefully New Bedford police to come on to the program so we can talk more about downtown, and I'll do my best to get downtown in just a few minutes. 28 in Adamsville.